Well, last week, all of us here were aware of, and those listening in that were watching the TV broadcasts, that our city of Fort Collins made the national news because of a tornado passing through our city. Luckily, or maybe even, as I could better state it, because of divine help, that tornado didn't really touch into our actual city limits. Well, I was out driving that day in Fort Collins, and I got the call from my father alerting me that a tornado had touched down and was heading towards our town. Now I need to give some history of my father. I'm not going to get any laughs at all in here today because they've all heard this. Well, growing up, I remember my father in a, maybe they even laugh because it's, my father in a panic state rushing us to basements, and usually it was in maybe the Midwest, remember in Minnesota that happened once. Well, as a kid, I never saw the wind or heard the roar that I remember, but based on, you know, his expression of those situations, I knew something was up, something was wrong. You know, maybe it was because he grew up in the Midwest in an area with a lot of tornado activity that he had that fear, but, you know, all of us in my family will testify that our father has a phobia of tornadoes. Well, you know, that typically when all of us, as I even did when this system hit, you know, wanted to run out and see what the tornado looked like, our dad was the one that was digging deeper holes into the basement to hide away from its coming by. So when I got the call that afternoon, my first impression was a bit of skepticism. A tornado, a half mile wide, traveling 30 miles an hour, and heading towards Fort Collins. Well, I had a little bit of question about that. Well, I did heed his warning. I called to make sure my kids were taken to the basement. They were at their mother-in-law's, and I blew my way to pick my wife up, so I let her know as well. Now, when the torrential rain and the small hail started hitting me, and the broadcasts that were coming over the warning system basically echoed what my father just told me, I took his warning to heart. And I didn't want to admit completely that he was right in that situation, as it might have set it a, you know, a bad precedent, not help him overcome that phobia in some way. But that tornado didn't actually hit us in Fort Collins, so maybe that was a. But once, you know, that system had passed, and seeing the initial video reports and, you know, the news feeds of that system, and how quickly it appeared and devastated everything in its path, it got me to thinking about some spiritual parallels. You know, not because I always come up with those and think about that maybe as I should, but because I had to prepare a message, and it's easier to come up with those spiritual, you know, spiritual context that fits into your life when you're preparing for a speech. Well, we're all familiar with the scripture, if you will. Turn with me to Matthew 24. I'll begin reading Matthew 24 and verse 36. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what the hour of the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Well, the speed and the unexpectedness of Christ's return is going to be much in the same way, in the same time frame that tornado hit this town. You know, had you been in that direct path and you looked out and saw this big black cloud heading towards you, what would you have done? You know, something traveling at about 30 miles an hour, hundreds of yards up to a half mile wide, it's not possible to run from it. And you can't really prepare for it either. You could react in those few short seconds you'd have just to find some place to hide into, to crawl under. Well, when that kind of situation confronts you, There is no time to start or even to finish digging a shelter or some place of refuge. That you've been telling yourself for however long that you'd work on. You have to live with the protection and the preparation that you have already completed in order to satisfy, and to safely confront that looming disaster. So the question I could ask then for all of us are, how are we preparing, or are we preparing for Christ's return any differently? Or is it even possible to prepare for the wrath that God will soon unleash on this world in this present age? Well, 70,000 up to 100,000 people died in a matter of a few hours when the hurricane this past month overtook Burma. And most likely, the death toll was so high because the people were so destitute, so poor, they didn't have much of a way of advance warning that they could, that the government could get out to them of that impending disaster. Although others in the world knew about it, we could see satellite imagery. We know what was happening. Had there been plans like we have in our country and many other civilized countries, the death toll could have been much lower. On a similar, within a week of each other, incident took place, and without warning, nearly 70,000 people perished in a massive earthquake in China. You know, they did have better economic conditions, and yet almost the same amount of people died because of the suddenness of that disaster. And there was no warning of it coming. Well, time and time again, even when there are warnings, people are caught unprepared when disasters confront them. So how is mankind going to confront the judgment and wrath that God is going to unleash in this present age? Well, probably with not much preparation. If you will, turn with me to Revelation 16. Revelation 16 and starting in verse 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. An earthquake like none other. I want to read an article that I copied off the internet about a similar, another earthquake. Quoting, when the 7.8 magnitude earthquake struck Tangshang at 3:42 a.m. on July 28, 1976, over a million people lay sleeping, unaware of the disaster that was to befall them. As the earth began to shake, a few people who were awake had the forethought to dive under a table or other heavy piece of furniture, but most were asleep and did not have the time. The entire earthquake lasted approximately 14 to 16 seconds. Once the quake was over, the people who could scrambled out into the open, only to see the entire city leveled. After an initial period of shock, the survivors began to dig through the debris to answer the muffled calls for help, as well as to find loved ones who were still under the rubble. As injured people were saved from under the rubble, they were laid on the side of the road. Many of the medical personnel were also trapped under debris or killed in the earthquake. The medical centers were destroyed, as well as the roads to get to them. Survivors were faced with no water, no food, and no electricity. Now, that was considered the deadliest earthquake of the 20th century. A quarter million people perished in just a matter of seconds during that quake. And when it was over, everything that mankind had built around him for his protection, like the hospitals and all of the infrastructure and everything, the buildings that they relied on, were destroyed. Well, continuing in Revelation 16, and in verse 21, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent, Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. It says hail the size of a talent. There seems to be, as I could find, some differing opinions on what a talent weighs. This seems like it's between 75 to 88 pounds. So I did some searching. I found that a 1 foot cube of dry ice weighs 60 pounds. So I would guesstimate a hailstone about the weight of a talent would be about the size of 1.5 foot ball. And my sons have some big balls like that that we like to play with. And I can't imagine something weighing the size of 80 pounds falling at the sky at, you know, 200 miles an hour at terminal velocity that, you know, you crawling into your basement would offer you very little protection. Hail that size, and not just one piece, the whole sky filled with hail like that would reach you anywhere you could hide. But then, you know, we can't hide from God's wrath. Then the answer, you know, if we can't hide from it, is to not incur it. Well, how is that accomplished? How do we not incur God's wrath? Well, the key, as I mentioned earlier, is that, as I think all of us do know, is that we are to be prepared. Well, synonyms for that word are planning, putting into order, getting ready, practicing, organizing, and arranging. You know, all of those synonyms have one common theme. They don't take place in the future, but they refer to something that has happened in the past or is currently happening and is being built upon. So what do our spiritual shelters look like right now? You know, are we full of batteries, water jugs, canned foods? Or is our shelter still just in the conceptual stages? You know, looking great on paper, but still no hole dug in the ground. You know, I'm not saying you need to start building it today. You've got time. You know, just assuming you can dig quick when you see that disaster approaching you. You know, if you're waiting till you start seeing bigger and bigger signs of what we all know is coming, I want you to keep this scripture in mind. And if you will, turn with me to 2 Peter. Second Peter 3, I'll just read verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. You know, if you've ever had something stolen, the concept of a thief coming into the night means a lot more. You know, there's that sense of violation when you see that your stuff has been stolen. You know, years ago, somebody broke into my Mustang and stole my entire collection, you know, of CDs, my stereo equipment. You know, when I'd gone to bed that night, you know, I could imagine that happening to me that next morning. It wasn't in my concept at all. I just didn't think that would ever happen to me. But that next morning, as I walked to my car, the first thing I saw was broken glass all over the ground. Then I noticed my items missing. And I wished at that point that I'd done lots of things differently that night or previous. You know, maybe I shouldn't have parked my car there. Maybe I should have gone somewhere else, everything. But I even had a car alarm. It wasn't turned on. And, you know, besides that, nothing had happened to me to that point, the couple years I've had the car. So odds were nothing would happen to me anytime soon. Well, brethren, the air raids in this end time are sounding. And more powerful than any disaster recorded to date, God's judgment and wrath will soon be unleashed upon this world. No shelter nor bunker, however deep or strong, can hide mankind from the judgment that is to come. You know, we weren't called to be Christian survivalists, building bunkers so deep and so far away from this world only with the intent of saving ourselves. We have been called to stand out in this impending storm, to warn any who will listen, any who have ears to hear, of what is coming upon them, what these judgments mean to them. Because, you know, in reality, we have nothing to fear of God's wrath and His judgment. And here's one of my big if clauses that you have to insert. If we are close enough to God to hear the warnings that are going off all around us, more and more. And if we have actually prepared and are building upon are spiritual shelters. Not just planning them, thinking about them, or talking about them. And that is what Christ expects us to be doing when he said, and I'll end with this, in Matthew 24:46, "Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing."